Soon, Sazed realized he could see something sparkling in the distance. He held the lantern high, pausing on the steps as he saw that some of the darkness in the distance was too flat to be part of the cavern floor. Breeze whistled quietly as they studied the enormous underground lake.
"Well," he noted, "I guess now we know where all the water from those canals went."
Originally, men assumed that Rashik's persecution of the Terrace religion came from hatred. Yet, now that we know that Rashik was himself a Terraceman, his destruction of that religion seems odd. I suspect it had something to do with the prophecies about the Hero of Ages. Rashik knew that preservation's power would eventually return to the Well of Ascension. If the Terrace religion had been allowed to survive, then perhaps, someday, a person would find their way to the well and take up the power, then use it to defeat Rashik and overthrow his empire. So he obscured knowledge of the hero and what he was supposed to do, hoping to keep the secret of the well to himself.
30. "You're not going to try and talk me out of this?" Elland asked, amused. Ham and Set shared a look.
"Why would we do that, El?"
Ham asked, standing at the front of the boat. In the distance, the sun was setting and the mists had already begun to gather. The boat rocked quietly, and soldiers milled about on the shore, preparing for night. 1 week had passed since Vin's initial scouting of Fadrix, and she still hadn't managed to sneak into the storage cache. The night of the next ball had arrived, and Elland and Vin were planning to attend.
"Well, I can think of a couple reasons why you might object," Elland said, counting them off on his fingers. "First, it isn't wise to expose me to potential capture. Second, by revealing myself at the party, I'll show that I'm Mistborn, confirming rumors that yeomen may not believe. Third, I'll be putting both of our Mistborn in the same place where they can be easily attacked. That can't be a good idea. Finally, there's the fact that going to a ball in the middle of a war is just plain crazy."
Ham shrugged, leaning with one elbow against the deck railing.
"This isn't so different from when you entered your father's camp during the siege of Luthadel. Except you weren't Mistborn then, and you weren't in such a position of political power. Yeoman would be crazy to make a move against you. He has to know that if you're in the same room with him, he's in mortal danger himself."
"He'll run," Set said from his seat. "This party will end the moment you arrive."
"No," Elland said, "I don't think it will."
He glanced back toward their cabin. Vin was still getting ready. She'd had the camp tailors modify one of the cooking girls' dresses. Elland was worried. No matter how good the dress turned out to be, it would look out of place compared to the lavish ball gowns. He turned back to Set and Ham.
"I don't think Yeoman will run. He has to know that if Vin wanted to kill him, she'd attack his palace in secret. He's trying very hard to pretend that nothing has changed since the Lord Ruler disappeared. When we show up at the ball, it will make him think that we're willing to pretend with him. He'll stay and see if he can gain some advantage by meeting with us on his terms."
"The man's a fool," Set said. "I can't believe he'd want to go back to the way things were."
"At least he's trying to give his subjects what they want. That's where you went wrong, Set. You lost your kingdom the moment you left because you didn't care to try pleasing anyone."
"A king doesn't have to please anyone," Set snapped. "He's the one with the army. That means other people have to please him."
"Actually," Ham said, rubbing his chin, "that theory can't be true. A king has to please somebody. After all, if he intended to force everyone to do what he said, he'd still have to at least please his army. But then I guess if the army is pleased simply by being allowed to push people around, he might have an argument."
Ham trailed off, looking thoughtful, and Set scowled.
"Does everything have to be some damn logic puzzle to you?" he demanded.
Ham just continued to rub his chin. Elland smiled, glancing at his cabin again. It was good to hear Ham acting like himself. Set protested Ham's comments almost as much as Breeze did. In fact, maybe that's why Ham hasn't been quite so prone to his little logic puzzles lately, Ellen thought. There hasn't been anyone around to complain about them.
So, Ellen, Set said, if you die, I'm in charge, right?
Vin will take command if something happens to me, Ellen said. You know that.
Right, Set said. And if both of you die?
Sazed is next in the Imperial succession after Vin, Set. We've discussed that.
Yes, but what about this army? Set said. Sazed is off in Urto. Who leads these men until we meet up with him?
Ellen sighed.
If somehow Yeoman manages to kill both Vin and myself, then I suggest that you run. Because, yes, you'd be in charge here, and the Mistborn who killed us is likely to come for you next.
Set smiled in satisfaction, though Ham frowned at this.
You've never wanted titles, Ham, Ellen pointed out. And you've chased at every leadership position I've given you. I know, he said. But what about Damu?
Set has more experience, Ellen said. He's a better man than he pretends, Ham. I trust him.
That will have to be enough for you.
Set, if things turn bad, I charge you with returning to Luthadel and searching out Sazed to tell him that he's emperor.
Now I think that...
Ellen paused as the door to his cabin opened. He turned, putting on his best consoling smile, then froze. Vin stood in the doorway wearing a stunning black gown with silver trim, cut after a modern fashion. Somehow it managed to look sleek despite the bell-shaped skirt, which fanned out with petticoats. Her pure black hair, which she often wore pulled back in a tail, was down, and it now reached to her collarbone, neatly trimmed and curling just slightly. The only jewelry she wore was her simple earring, the one she'd gotten from her mother when she was just a child. He always thought she was beautiful, and yet, how long had it been since he'd seen her in a gown, with her hair and makeup done? He tried to say something, give her a compliment, but his voice just kind of trailed off. She walked over on light feet, kissing him briefly.
I'll take that as an indication that I managed to put this thing on right. I'd forgotten what a pain gowns could be. And the makeup? Honestly, Ellen, you're never allowed to complain about those suits of yours again.
Beside them, Ham was chuckling. Vin turned.
What?
Ah, Vin.